great Dolly Parton there this morning to kind of open the show, and everybody's submitting their memories of her and what they love the most. And the thing about it is, it's rare when somebody passes to really hear anybody say anything negative. But I can't imagine a month from now who that would be in Dolly Parton's case. I mean, even after the fact, everybody seemed to enjoy and love Dolly Parton, even if you weren't a huge fan of country music. I mean, she crossed boundaries. She did rock music. She really kind of seemed to touch so many different musicians who came out yesterday, and actors remembering her, including James Woods. I've even got a comment this morning from the actor James Woods, who's one of my favorite, talking about Dolly Parton and her life and her impact, and seems to be gone too young. I mean, I know she looked great, and she used to talk about the fact that a lot of that had to do with her plastic surgeon. She joked about that, but she didn't look 80. It was the point, which was more shocking after seeing the video she released a couple of weeks ago, saying that she was working through some things, but she hoped to be fine. And then it was just that much more shocking to learn that she died yesterday. Often with an 80-year-old, you don't feel that way, but she didn't look 80 to me. But we're sad that she's gone. Matthew Rocchio in helping us out this morning. Kim St. Ange continues to recover from whatever illness set her back on Monday. We're hoping she's feeling better because, just because we're worried about her health, but also because she's got a couple of youngsters at home that require a lot of her attention, and that cannot be easy. You know, as a dude, I just lay on the couch and moan when I'm sick. But if you're a mom, you gotta do things. You gotta take care of the kids. So I'm hoping she's feeling better.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who does that. After like 30, for some reason, every dude just gets in the same thing where it's like we're just getting knocked out for 24 hours.
It's a dude thing. Oh, yeah. It's awful. I can't get up. I feel so bad. I'm doing laundry and everything else. What are you doing? What are you talking about? Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is definitely a dude thing. There's no doubt about that. Matthew, I heard you talking about the Cardinals last night.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I was over in the Cam
Were
Woods
you
booth,
the, okay.
in the studio here for that game. It was a rough one. That fifth inning took 33 minutes.
Wow.
The half inning. Sorry. Just the Orioles top half of it.
I had some friends who were at the game last night, and they had a text string going talking about how painful it was.
It was
not it a Libertor?
Yeah, Libertor. Yeah. He got shellacked.
Oh,
not
boy.
Surprisingly.
Well,
when are they moving him to the bullpen?
I just don't think it's going to happen. And now with injuries to guys like Andre Pallante and Hunter Dobbins, they don't have the starters. I just don't see them pulling the trigger.
So they were, because they had won several series in a row, at least in the talks for a wild card potentially. There's still time, right? I mean, we got the month of September.
30 games, 5 games back. The math starts playing against you. But, I mean, listen, they just lost 4 straight after winning 5 straight series. If they win 5 more series after this, they'll probably be in the conversation.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you've seen signs of life this year, which is a good thing.
That's the important part.
And that's what Ackerman comes in here and saying. I call him the Dalai Lama of sports. He always sees the bright side and everything, unlike me sometimes. But he'll come in and say, it's okay. You know, they're doing better than I thought they would this year. There's, you know, you've got Weatherholt and these other rookies coming in who are having great years, and maybe next year.
And we can just focus on the golf world fawning over us after the BMW championship.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just think of how happy all the golfers are all the way. I saw Wyndham Clark bragging about St. Louis again in his post comments. Those guys don't get much of a break, aren't they? They're back at it starting Thursday, starting tomorrow?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think so.
Quick turnaround. Get on the plane Sunday night and fly to the next one.
I mean, that's not that it's a tough life. Nobody's playing the tiny violins for them, because I looked at the payout for the BMW Championship. Scotty Scheffler had hand, foot, mouth, was not on his game, had to settle for 12th place. I think he was tied for 12th, and still took home almost $450,000. Poor Scotty, right?
Yep.
After winning, what, $23 million in bonus money for being the number one golfer at the end of the season.
Yeah, if you can go top 25 consistently in golf tournaments, that's you're a millionaire.
Oh, absolutely, easily.
Yeah, easily. Yeah,
it's a tough tough to walk the course for four straight days in beautiful weather in St. Louis and only make $66,000. The guy in 50th place in that tournament still took home nearly $70,000 and got to drive a BMW around all week.
I'm
while
saying,
he was at
yeah,
it.
Right.
Where they dropped the media off over there. I got off the bus and I looked at the parking lot, and there was a sameness to it. And then it dawned on me, they were all the BMWs that they give to the players to drive while they're there. Now, I'm assuming you can go to your local BMW dealership here in St. Louis today and buy a nice, slightly used BMW that one of these players drove for the week. But they're gorgeous, right? My son was out there, and he was walking. On the final day, he got there late, and he was walking to try to catch up with Rory and Wyndham Clark as they were moving over to like the 11th tee box, and along comes Justin Thomas, again one of the great golfers who only ended up making about $350,000 in this tournament because he ended up in the top 20 somewhere.
Only.
And Brad said, "Hey, JT, can I get a picture?" The guy came over and took a picture with him. I mean, most of them are down to earth. But there are people who aren't fans of Wyndham Clark. Why is that? Do you know Matthew?
I have no idea. He always comes off as a stand-up guy. You know, he's always competitive. I can't figure that one out.
Well, he's a winner in life, and he's clearly a winner in marriage because the young lady accompanying him to this was eye-catching.
Yeah, well,
to
yeah,
say the least.
I mean, if you can pull in $300,000 on a week, it helps.
No. $3.2 million is what he won, I think, for winning it. Yeah. That helps. Holy cow. That was huge. Huge. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to the St. Louis Morning Brief. We've got to Nicole Murray again at the bottom of the hour, as it being a Wednesday. We got in other news for you. Lauren Greenwood is going to join us a little later. I saw this text string, and I couldn't believe it. Somebody shared it on social media yesterday. You know, she ran for school board out in Francis Howell a couple years ago, and she's got a group out there called Moms for Liberty. And the people that oppose her in that race and are really on the other side of the political spectrum and supported by the NEA and many of them now on the school board dislike her to the point that one suggested throwing her out of a window, and all of the rest of them, a lot of them, hearted the post. They gave it a thumbs up or a heart because that's the legacy of the hard left, I'm afraid, in many – politics is nasty these days. And for whatever reason, a lot of these people really hate Lauren and some of these conservative candidates who've run for the school board. Strap it on, because I'm telling you what, in strap on the armor, because in 28, when the law changes and these school board races get moved to – November, all of that's going to turn around. I'm sure the NEA is preparing for it right now. They'll spend more money than ever to try to keep their grip on these school boards, but I feel that's going to turn around. We're going to talk to Lauren about that at about 7:35 this morning. Right now, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
Representative Singh, after bravely facing a brief battle with cancer, Dolly departed her earthly life at the Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center, surrounded by loved ones.
Yeah, that's the first I had heard what caused Dolly Parton's death. I didn't know she had cancer. I think they must have kept that fact pretty tightly under wraps. And then yesterday they announced that it had gotten the better of her.
We'll always call it Lake Ontario. Period.
This is how you own real estate in the minds of your opponents. After getting in a little bit of a word war with the Ontario Prime Minister up there, Doug Ford, Donald Trump decided he's going to rename Lake Ontario, and everybody had to run to Canada, to see what their reaction to it was.
I don't quite get over his comparison of the sex change procedures on children to circumcision. I do think people need to know how horrific those surgeries are for children who are subjected to them.
Yeah, Molly Hemingway there talking about this Michigan Senate candidate, Al Sayed. If you heard his interview the other night with Jesse Waters, seriously, the guy compared circumcision to, you know, having your you know what cut off for young children. I mean, it, seriously, if that's what he thinks, they ought to take his medical license from him.
We are launching an economic onslaught against Iran's financial connections around the globe. Around the globe. Our objective is to sever every economic lifeline that sustains this tyrannical regime until Tehran stands alone.
Yep, Scott Bessent there talking about the Anaconda strategy, and they're already rationing food and oil and gas and stuff in Iran right now. They produce a lot of oil. They don't produce gas, and everything is getting tight in that country right now because of the economic noose that we have put around them on this. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. We come back, we'll get to the St. Louis Morning Brief, and we'll get a check of business at 6:35.
St. Louis Morning Brief.
After a fight that began way back in May, we're starting to get some news, this time in unincorporated St. Louis County, as data center regulations are starting to come in. There apparently is going to be differing regulations depending on the size, but now they're going to be pushing any huge ones. The largest data centers are going to be pushed apparently into industrial areas away from civilian centers. So we're starting to get a little bit of an answer on some of these regulations.
Yeah, a little clarity on that. I'm surprised that wouldn't have just been the approach to begin with.
Well, right? I think that the issue now in 2026, Mark, is the common sense things have to be written down and regulated nine times over. We can't just trust common sense anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing that always struck me. Now, obviously, they need a lot of space, so maybe sometimes finding, but it would strike me that we have enough empty buildings that we could find room for commercial space for these things. Now, I know the other side of that is the draw on the electric grid and the demand for water, and that seems to occupy a lot of people's concerns. It's not always the not in my backyard, it's the not in my area, because I don't know what it's going to do to energy demands, but I think you can set guidelines on that.
And that's what the work is right now, is setting the guidelines around efficiency requirements that has to do with both electricity and water, protections against noise and light pollution, because, again, the largest ones that would be proposed would be not near any residential areas.
But
there'd be four size classifications, and the smaller of the three could be closer.
Okay.
And so the things like noise, light pollution, those kind of things becomes a part.
You know, somebody pointed out to me in most of these, the construction of the facility would cause the most disruption in an area. Once it's up and running for a huge data farm, you might have five people on site who are basically there for maintenance.
Well, but I think the noise issue has to do with kind of that humming that has been reported around some of those larger ones.
Particularly if you had to have backup generators or something going, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, so I can understand that. By the way, it does need to be said that right now there is not a data center that would be large enough to fall under the largest distinction currently planned.
Okay.
But again, we have to get out in front of these things.
That's true.
I think it's the way to look at it.
Very true.
Speaking of that story, a lot of that, Sam Page's office is running in that. Tim Page's office also trying to run some other things, as Councilman Mike Archer is a little annoyed because the Attorney General said that they will not file a quo warranto, which would essentially be a warrant, against County Executive Sam Page for working as an anesthesiologist while serving as County Executive. The reason why they're not doing this is because his term is going to end at the end of the year, and he's not running for re-election, so they're just saying there's not enough time to do this, there's not really a point to doing
this. Which would be an effort to get him out of office before his time is actually up, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, what Page has proven is his ability to hire really good attorneys who, even in the legal case in Springfield, can manage to get any results delayed until after his term is up. So, I mean, that's kind of probably what they're afraid of here, is that would try to find this started, it would get tied up in court, and it wouldn't matter anyway because he's going to be out of office in, what, January, I guess?
Working with doctors does seem like a good way to meet some good lawyers.
Yeah, I would say so. That's a good point. Yep.
It just seems interesting to me because it's such a clear It's something you shouldn't do. I mean, we had the issue with here in the city where, you know, Kim Gardner was like going to school to be a nurse and things like that. It's
yes.
just like if you're being paid by the taxpayers to do a job, you shouldn't be double dipping. And I understand why, you know, it doesn't have the effect you would need doing it this late, but it at least would send a message to people in government that it doesn't matter if you're going to get out at the end of it. We're still going to make sure we send a message.
I agree with you. I do.
And the last thing here, going back to the sports talk, Bill DeWitt says that the Cardinals are going to fall short of that 3 million attendance marker that kind of became legendary among baseball for a small market like St. Louis. They're not going to hit 3 million, but they are going to do better than last year when things plummeted by well over a million in one single year.
You know, I remember a couple years ago going to the rollout for the Blues season, and the GM stood up and basically announced it's a rebuilding year. And I think when you go into a season admitting that, you're not going to get anywhere near record attendance. I'm not surprised by this at all. I do believe that they sparked enough interest to draw more people to the games this year, which is a good thing. Maybe that's a continuing in the right direction.
And I think it shows you how useful transparency can be. If people understand what they're being given, they understand the situation, they understand that Chaim Bloom has a plan, the Cardinals have a plan, it's just a long-term plan.
Yeah.
I think they're willing to bite the bullet and say, okay, I'll go watch a game that maybe they don't have a high chance of winning, but hey, there's some young players who are going to be here for a long period of time. I'll watch the base of a new team being built.
They need some crisis communications help is what they need.
Yes,
and they should eliminate the word rebuilding year from their vocabulary and try to figure out some other way to say it, because I think it just turns people off. I'm less likely to go pay $60 for an all-inclusive ticket or whatever those cost these days. Other than the joy of eating the food and drinking the beer, if watching the game is no fun.
Inclusive ticket's not a bad get, though.
I know.
If you don't eat lunch for the day before and you put in work on that buffet, you get your money's
worth. Yeah, I'll bet you do. You know, I did see they got a new riverboat on the arch, and you were right about that, Ethan. The new riverboat is called the Becky Thatcher.
Yeah.
It's replacing the old Becky Thatcher.
Okay.
Yeah,
which was built in 1963. So they finally got a newer, I guess, I don't know if it's brand new. It says a new riverboat that'll be giving tours on the riverfront. I'm old enough that I covered the Admiral when it broke free that time.
Oh, wow.
I covered that story. And the truth about that story is a barge hit it, jarred it loose. It didn't have an engine. It was just sitting there for people to gamble on. And had it not been for a towboat operator who saw it happen and took his tug over there and stopped that thing from going downstream, it would have hit the Eads Bridge or the other bridge, and there's a very good chance it would have sunk right in the middle of the river. And the story would have been a disaster greater than the Titanic, because they don't know how many people were on board. Remember, when you went to the gambling boat, all you had to do was prove you were 21. You didn't have to write your name down or anything. They wouldn't have known who all the victims were.
Oh,
I mean,
wow,
if that thing had sunk, it would have been a huge disaster, and they missed it by that much. I mean, that's when they started realizing. I heard one of the captains of a riverboat say one time, "This is not a bathtub we're cruising on out here. This is a dangerous river." And in this case, this boat had no engine in it. So, I'm glad they moved away from that and put them in moats eventually. All right, coming up, we'll check in with Nicole Murray and get a check of business. Stay tuned. All right, we'll find out more today on the fallout of that primary down in South Carolina, where Darlene Graham pulled it out. It was closer, I think, than anybody thought. But Graham is the winner down there and will now run in the general election in November, where I think Trump won by 18 points in South Carolina. So at the end of the day, this is probably not going to be a huge any chance of a huge upset in South Carolina for sure. This is how Fox was reporting on it early this morning. Listen.
Graham defeated Congressman Ralph Norman in Tuesday's GOP primary runoff. Graham thanked President Trump, who endorsed her.
Lindsey truly loved you and viewed you as one of his closest friends. I appreciate that bond and appreciate all that you've done for our country.
Yeah, there's
would not.
No doubt about it that they don't know how to control the audio on her her microphone there when she spoke last night. But she won. The president endorsed her. Tim Scott endorsed her. The governor endorsed her. And Graham defeated Ralph Norman, who was the certainly the conservative pick in that South Carolina race. So it remains to be seen where she stands on a lot of these issues. So stay tuned for more on that. Right now, let's get to our friend Nicole Murray. Please. Morning, Nicole.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm a little sleepy today. The coffee's just not hitting right.
I got you. Kim continues to be sidelined with whatever illness hit her Monday. Yeah, we're a little worried about her. Said she, when I talked to her yesterday, she was still laying in bed trying to get over whatever this is.
Oh, no. Well, sending her recovery vibes.
Thank you. She did not seem to think it was related to this lettuce problem that was going on. But I guess we don't know. I think she'll probably be back tomorrow.
All right. So you're rolling solo in studio.
Rolling solo. Got my friend Matthew in here this morning helping out with news headlines. But yeah, it's me. Of course, I'm used to that. I did it for years until I got Kim in here and kind of had a cohort. So that's a good thing. That's good.
All right.
So you got where's Gordon? Is he on vacation?
Yeah, he's out this week.
Ah, I see. All right. Out enjoying life a little bit. Good for him.
Yeah, that's right?
Fantastic. What's going on out there?
Right now, futures are mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 160. The NASDAQ gained 171. The S&P 500 up 24. Boeing said the company has won a new contract this week from the U.S. Air Force to support F-15 production in St. Louis. The contract is valued at up to $131 billion and will support the F-15 Eagle Crest program, which oversees the F-15 fighter aircraft fleet. The contract covers aircraft production, systems integration, and more. SpaceX has announced plans to spend up to $100 billion building a launch facility in Louisiana. Company officials said in a statement that the facility will be based in Vermilion Parish and support thousands of launches annually. Musk said in a video that the company would bring probably 10,000 really exciting jobs to Louisiana with the spaceport. July's Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, a monthly report detailing changes in prices of goods and services, is set to be released later this morning. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect a month-over-month increase of 0.1% and a year-over-year increase of 3.6%. Canada is hitting back at the United States with retaliatory tariffs of up to 50% on roughly 700 American products in retaliation for new U.S. levies that took effect this past weekend. The new Canadian tariffs will be applied to steel, dairy products, appliances, and more. A Yale Budget Lab study reports that United States tariffs will cost the typical American household more than $1,000 per year. The forecast arrives amid a flurry of fresh levies imposed on Canadian products after a collapse in trade negotiations over the weekend. The new tariffs on Canadian goods accounted for an extra $30 per household per year. And finally, we've talked about travel etiquette before. Here's how to avoid frustrating other fellow passengers. CBS News reports that 40% of flyers think airlines should ban phone and video calls aboard an aircraft, with 27% citing such noise as the most annoying passenger behavior.
Wow. I have not noticed people doing, are they alleging that they're doing this during the flight?
Correct.
Wow. Well, 'cause you're not supposed to use your phone, right? I guess if you have a Wi-Fi connection on the plane, you could still do a video conference, maybe?
Correct. I've been on when it has to be a really long flight. That's the only time I've ever experienced being able to have Wi-Fi. But if you have Wi-Fi, that kind of covers you. I can't say I would ever want to take a phone call on a plane with someone 2 inches away from me.
People do all kinds of things. I have a friend who flies fairly frequently, and her thing is, for some reason, she tends to end up next to people who take their shoes off when they're flying.
Oh, I do that.
And it drives her bonkers. She takes pictures of it, and she posts it to her Facebook with somebody with their bare feet, like, pushing up against the seat in front of them, or they've got their legs crossed, and, like, their bare foot is just, like, right there.
See, I don't do bare feet. I bring a pair of socks or slippers on purpose.
See, that's it. I think when we fly overseas, my wife usually brings some slippers that she puts on that are more comfortable. But bare feet? That's kind of gross.
Yeah, the bare feet I can't get on board with. Feet are gross looking.
They can be. Yeah.
They're just weird looking, no matter whose they are. Even with pedicures, I think they're the weirdest looking things on the body.
I've still never had one of those. I took my mom to get her nails done the other day, and those women are trying to goad me into getting a pedicure. I'm like, I've never done that. I probably need to, but I don't want to.
Why not?
It just seems weird to me. I just don't want somebody working on my feet.
Yeah, but it'll be all pretty and smooth and smell nice when you're done. And you won't be like Edward Scissor Feet when you're done because they cut it. So
they trim them up for you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they do. And they file them so they'll all be even.
Yeah.
No.
You must be telepathic. How do you know what my feet look like?
I have a feeling.
Okay. I gotcha. All right, Nicole. You have a good Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Now, I used to talk to Carl about that all the time. He loved going and getting pedicures.
No, I'm with you. I've never done it. I don't plan on doing it.
They were making fun of me. Mark, get a pedicure. They're wonderful, Jackie said. What's wonderful about it?
I'm sure they are, but I'm with you. I don't want people messing with my feet.
My feet are kind of ticklish. I'm not sure I want to deal with that.
I gotta say, though, I disagree with Nicole or that study. The most annoying thing people do on flights is get up at the end and run forward every time. That drives me nuts.
Some do that, and it's also irritating to me that the minute the plane pulls up and stops, everybody stands up.
Right.
And
they all get in the aisle.
Even if they don't try to run ahead of everybody else, what's the point? Now, you just need to stretch your legs. Okay, I get that. But if you're in the back of the plane, which is normally where I'm seated,
yeah,
it's going to be 15 or 20 minutes before you can get up and walk. Why does everybody stand up?
The only reason I do it now is to block the aisle so people can't get through. I'm not even
lying.
So
you're one of them.
I will do it for that reason, but
yeah,
what I used to do is I would act like I was stretching and I would put my arm across the aisle,
yeah,
so people couldn't get through.
That is irritating if somebody stands up with the intention of getting ahead of you to get out, what, 30 seconds sooner than you do out of the plane?
Like, we've learned from kindergarten, we're all going to be in a line, we're going to take our turn, let the people in front of us go so we can all go.
Yeah.
All you're doing is making me have to wait longer to get off this damn plane.
It's true. People do it. I guess if you're about to miss a connection, I think people would understand that you need to.
But they usually will tell
that,
though.
They will say,
you know, hey, we've got three people that need to make their connection. Let them get out. Fine with that.
Yeah.
If you're in the back and you didn't pay for the front seat, sorry, you're still in the back.
Thank you.
You're going to be there.
Put your shoes on and sit down would be my advice to
relax,
you.
Relax. Have a Coke.
Relax. Come on. It always works, doesn't it? That's when the viral videos happen on airplanes of people losing their crap. All right. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to get to In Other News. And then a little later, we're going to talk to Derek Morgan. And there's a new poll out. We were just talking about sports gambling the other day and the fact that there's all this money that they don't use to address problem gambling. And I know there's got to be a lot of problem gambling out there, but you're going to be surprised what Gen Zers are doing these days with their investment money, money they would normally invest. And you can argue the stock market is a gamble. Many of them are sports gambling with it. Instead, just one of the issues that Derek Morgan is going to address at about 7:20. We'll be back in just a minute.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news, sponsored by Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Zero Res.
Ethan almost got caught that time.
I know. I was like, don't do it, don't do it.
You did. You almost got caught. By the way, President Trump has ordered flags in the U.S. flown at half staff for 1 week, recognizing the death of Dolly Parton. So if you drive by and you see a flag at half staff, you'll understand why. He said that he will do this. It was a true loss for millions of people. No one has ever been anyone like her, and there never will be. There's never been anyone like her, and there never will be. He said, rest in peace, Dolly. The world loves you. So there you have it.
I think it should be that way.
Yes.
I agree.
I'm glad they're doing that. That's a serious issue to lower the flags. But, wow, what an impact that woman had on so many lives, no doubt. Did you see this weather forecaster who kind of went viral this week? His name is Patrick Osborne. And he's in Bangor, Maine. It's actually his sister station to Channel 4. I noticed it was owned by Gray TV.
Get more at 971talk.com.